And again, we give each a warm welcome, and we trust the Lord will bless us in our time together tonight. Can we read, please, the words from the book of Job, the oldest book in our Bibles, perhaps, the book of Job. First of all, please, in chapter 33. Job chapter 33 and verse 23. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Chapter 36, please. For just one verse in chapter 36 and verse 18. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. We know that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. The book of Job brings before us the account of a man against whom many accusations were brought. And if there is one thing that is seen and again through the book of Job, up until chapter 31, it would be this thought, that there are men who will try to tell how a man can be right with God. But it is the ideas of men, and the one thing that was in common as Job's three friends spoke to him was that they had no answer to a question that Job himself posed in the chapter 9 of this book. How should a man be just with God? All that men in their ideas, in their philosophies, in their observances could ever do would never satisfy the throne of God. You know, as I was thinking of tonight, the 6th of August is a day that rings precious to me. Because I remember on the 6th of August when I was a boy of 6 years old, I learned two things in that day. I learned that the Lord was coming to take his people to be with him in heaven. I learned that for those who did not know their sins forgiven, there was only the lake of fire, the pit, the judgment of God to face. Two very solemn facts. As we've read our first verses tonight from Job chapter 33, Elihu, who is speaking at this time, is bringing before us these very thoughts. As he has spoken, he has reminded Job and his three friends of this tremendous fact that God is greater than man. The ways and the thoughts of God are far greater than man. And that if men will go about to try and gain acceptance in the sight of God by their own efforts, it will come to nothing, and all that they will be faced with is the judgment of God, which is what he's speaking about as he speaks there of the pit. There's no escape from the judgment of God by the efforts of men. But you know, the words we've read, they bring before us a message of hope. I've said about the 6th of August, I learned those truths for me. Those two truths that I learned on the 6th of August 45 years ago were truths that were frightening, because I knew that I was not ready if the Lord should come. I knew that if the Lord came that night, I would be left behind. And I'd learnt that what that would mean was the judgment of God, the lake of fire for eternity. For 3 weeks, that haunted me. Because I did not learn the truth of these words, that there was an answer to this. I judge when Elihu speaks, and certainly when we come to the New Testament, it is made very clear that when it comes to the question of righteousness in the sight of God, if we want to try to be right in the sight of God in our efforts, it will come to nothing. But the truth of the gospel is this, that God has provided righteousness for men and women. Romans chapters 1 to 3 will deal with the question of the judgment of God, the condemnation of all men, and it doesn't matter what the background may be. It doesn't matter where they come from, what their social life was. Chapter 1 will deal with those who are steeped in sin. Chapter 2 will deal with people who live according to a good conscience, and then with people who live and try to live according to the law of God. It made no difference. The end of all was condemnation in the sight of God. But in Romans chapter 3 and verse 21, the message changes and we have these words of hope. But, oh what a lovely word is that word, but. But now the righteousness of God is revealed. Even the righteousness which is by Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. And that is the same, that is Paul's words for the same truth as we have here. Here is a message, and we tonight have the glorious privilege of telling a message of a God who has done for us what we could never do for ourselves. When we stood condemned, utterly unable to stand in the presence of God, God has dealt with our sins in a righteous way, which means that he can judge, and he can judge righteously. But he does not need to condemn the sinner. And those words of Romans 3, 21 and 22 tell us that this righteousness of God is unto all. There is not one person in this world today who cannot be saved. It's available to every person in this world today. Here's the breadth of the message. It's unto all. But notice how that verse goes on. And upon all them that believe. Yes, the righteousness of God is available to every person in this world today. But they must accept what God has done. You can only come into the good of that righteousness when you believe. The righteousness of God, which is by faith from Jesus Christ. Not from me. Not from a gospel hall. Not from a minister of the gospel. Not from any religious observance, but from Jesus Christ and from him alone. And it's only to those who believe. 2 weeks ago in this hall, We were reminded of the words of Paul at the beginning of Romans. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul could say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And tonight we can rejoice. We can rejoice in the fact that there is salvation, there is righteousness available to everyone, so that we can stand in the presence of God and we can stand in absolute certainty. You know, you can speak to people. And when you speak to people in the town, what you will find is that most people have in the back of their minds at least the thought that there is something after death. For some of them it's just some vague idea there may be something after death and we're not quite sure what the future will hold. For others it's something a bit more definite, yes, we certainly believe in something after death. Most people have some thought about an afterlife. What is sad is that most people are happy to go through life thinking there is or there may be an afterlife and just hoping that when it gets to the end of life, well, we just hope everything's going to be all right. I wonder. I have family in the south of England. If I was to turn round and say to someone, well, I'm going to go and see the family. And they said, well, how are you going to get there? Oh, I don't know. I'm just going to set out and start walking and I hope I'll get there. Have you thought about where you're going to stay? Have you thought, no, I'm not bothered. You would think I was mad. And yet, this world is full of people who will use just that logic in respect of the great eternity. A destination that is they must go to, as we've already had reminded this evening. A journey they must take which will have only one of two destinations. It's either the judgment of God and everlasting fire, or a home in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no choice beyond those two. On what basis can we be certain? What was the second part of verse 24 of chapter 33? He said, deliver him from going down to the pit. Why? I have found a ransom. I have found a ransom. God's justice demands that every sin must be punished. Sometimes today we will hear of court cases and someone stands before the judge and they are found guilty of a crime, but the judge will turn round and will say, well, yes, what they have been through is punishment enough. I'm not going to inflict any greater punishment. God can never act like that. A verse was quoted earlier in the prayer meeting, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You'll find those words in Romans 6 and verse 23. God sets two choices, two destinations. God has provided a ransom. I have found a ransom, that verse says. How did God find a ransom? How did God find a way to deliver men from going down to the pit? There was only one way. We are told that very clearly in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. For there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Notice that word all is there again. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, the price that he paid there was adequate to meet the demand for every sin that has been committed. There's nothing more that needs to be done to deal with the question of sin. At the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus took the place of the sinner. He paid in full. In what John chapter 16, the Lord Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit coming into the world, and he says that when he has come, he will convince the world of sin. And then he explains why, what sin that is. He says of sin because they believe not on me. And the message of the gospel is this. That the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is adequate in the sight of God to deal with every sin that a man, a woman, a boy, a girl could commit. But the one sin that will condemn men, women, boys and girls is the sin of not believing. Because if a person does not believe, if a person will not come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ, then there is no alternative. One God, one mediator between God and man. God has done everything that he can to deal with the question of sin. God has provided a full and a perfect salvation. On the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ offered a sacrifice which is enough to deal with every sin that has ever been committed. There's no reason for any person in this world ever to suffer the judgment of God, because the work of Christ is enough to deal with that sin. But each person has to, for themselves, confess in the sight of God that they are the sinner for whom Christ died. They have to come to that point. Job came to that point a little later in this book. But chapter 40 begins with these words. Or verse 3 says, then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? Oh, my friend, tonight, if you've never recognized that you're a sinner in the sight of God, facing the judgment of God, we urge you tonight to consider the Word of God. I said about August the 6th, 1961, on August the 27th, 1961, someone took up the verse in Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I knew that. I knew the truth of that only too well. It had been troubling me. It had caused me to call my parents to my bedroom on more than one occasion in the 3 weeks before that. Ah, but you know what I learned on the 27th of August as that verse was explained? Praise God, I learned the glorious truth that the answer to those sins was the cross of Christ. And the next morning, in my own bedroom, I had the joy of knowing sins forgiven by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and as Lord. Yes, there is a ransom. But we read that other verse in chapter 36. And we read it for this solemn reason. If there is no help in men to save themselves, but God has provided a ransom, then God will give us the warning that there is a limit to the offer of salvation. Because there is wrath. For 2,000 years, God has held back the wrath that should fall upon this world for the cry in Jerusalem, away with him, crucify him. But the Bible tells us very clearly, he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. The judgment of God is coming upon this world at his appointed time. But individually too, this verse has a warning for us. Because there is wrath. Individually there are people who have sat in halls like this. Sat and listened to God's offer of salvation. And walked out without the Saviour. Walked out perhaps with the promise to come back to the next meeting, the next week, perhaps even the next night. And that promise was never fulfilled. Why? Because death stepped in. In between. Death that can strike at any age, at any time, that is no respecter of persons. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. How solemn. To think there are those in eternity. Those in eternity perhaps who would say, have said, tomorrow I will put matters right. But tomorrow never came. How does this verse end? And with this we finish. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. There are people in this world today who will say, I'll wait and see what happens after death. There are people in this world today who will tell you that after death you can go to a waiting room, to a purgatory, and eventually there may be mercy. What does God's word say? What have we just read from the word of God? Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. The moment you leave this life, your eternal destiny is sealed. There's no opportunity after death. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. But we rejoice again tonight with the words that continue that passage. But Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Yes, there's the choice. Tonight you could die without Christ and face the judgment of God. Or you could turn and bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ to receive him as Saviour and as Lord, to be counted amongst the company who are looking for him, who are waiting for his coming, and to know the assurance that unto them that look for him he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. There'll be no question of sin, because that's been dealt with at the cross. You'll be there in the presence of God, saved by the grace of God. What's your choice tonight? There's no way to escape the choice. God has found a ransom. He's provided a ransom for all in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Christ, Ephesians 2 tells us, is to be without hope. But the assurance of Romans 8 and verse 1 is this: there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Or John puts it in this way in his Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 12: as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Shall we pray? Our loving God, again tonight we just thank thee and praise thee for the ransom that was paid at the place called Calvary. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who willingly suffered for sins, the just for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We thank thee tonight for righteousness. Righteousness that is offered to all. Righteousness that is enjoyed by everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we can stand in the presence of God without any fear, without any condemnation, because of the work of Christ. We thank thee for each one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. We just pray even tonight there may be some who will bow the knee and receive the Saviour for the first time. We just commit ourselves to thee then, thanking thee again for thy great salvation, and seeking thy blessing as we travel home now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ.